This morning, I'm starting a new sermon series that is completely different from anything I've ever done before. It's a sermon series called God Never Said That. God never said that. That is my theme for these next few weeks is God never said that. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, God never said that. Okay, and what I'm doing is we're going to look at some religious ideas that we have embraced in our culture, but in reality, those things are not what God said. Okay, we're going to look at some of these things, and you have to be careful because some of these statements, they look good and they even sound biblical, but when you get into the Bible, it's not at all what God said, okay? Just because something looks right and sounds right doesn't mean that it is right, okay? And will y'all help me this morning? Look at somebody and tell them, just because it looks right and just because it sounds right doesn't mean it is right. How many of you guys remember the wildfires in California last May? There was CNN sent a photographer to go and cover the wildfires, and he arrives on the scene there in Southern California. He gets his camera, and his plan was to go down and take some photos of the firefighters as they're fighting the blaze. But when he arrives there, because of the smoke and the direction of the wind, he wasn't able to get a single good photograph on the ground. So what he does is he calls his boss back in New York and he says, can I have permission to charter a plane? I'd like to get some aerial photos of the fire. And his boss said, okay, that's fine. He approved it. So he called the local airstrip and he told him the situation. And they said, no problem. We'll have a twin-engine plane ready when you pull up. They'll be firing up the propellers, ready to go. So he runs down to the local airport. He sees a plane out there warming up. He didn't even check into the airport. He immediately runs to the plane, jumps in with his bag, slams the door, and says, let's go. So the pilot taxis down the runway, and he takes off. And once they're airborne, the pilot looks at the photographer, and he says, okay, what now? And he said, well, I need you to do a couple of low passes over the valley so I can get really close to the fire. He said, what? Why do you want to do that? He said, well, because I'm a photographer for CNN. And the pilot starts to shake and turn pale, and he looks at him and he says, so what you're telling me is you're not my flight instructor. Just because something looks right and just because it sounds right doesn't mean it is right. So you got to be careful. There are some things that people say about God that might sound like something that God says, but in reality, he never said those things. Okay? And this week, this is what I'm going to focus on. It's a statement that I've heard many, many, many people say, and that is the following statement. God just wants you to be happy. God just wants you to be happy. I see some of y'all been saying that because I see you kind of sliding down in the pew, kind of hiding from me this morning. God just wants you to be happy. And let me just say this. God never said that. This is perhaps the most popular disbelief about God in our Western culture. The idea that above all else, God just wants us to be happy. Now let me say this, God does want for you to be happy. The Bible says that over and over again. The Bible says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Psalm 97:12 says, let all who are godly be happy. I say this all the time, and I still say this. Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. The church ought to be the happiest place on earth. I don't know what Disney World thinks, but this ought to be the happiest place around. Does anybody believe that? Okay, we ought to be happy. Because let me tell you something. Write this down and memorize it. There is nothing spiritual about being miserable all the time. Let me say that a second time. There is nothing spiritual about being miserable all the time. If that were true, if being miserable made you spiritual, some of y'all could have a worldwide global ministry. Let me just tell you this morning. Come on, walking in, praise the Lord. How you doing, brother? Well, I ain't dead yet. Wah, wah. Come on. There is nothing spiritual about being miserable. Okay? But the kind of happiness that God wants you to have is the kind of happiness you find on His terms, not our terms. Okay? On His terms, not our terms. Listen, God wants you to be happy. But happiness is a lot like prosperity. Yes, God wants it for your life. And yes, it is a promise of God and it is the will of God for us to have those things. But it's not God's first priority and it shouldn't be our first priority. Okay? Don't get me wrong. God wants to bless us. God takes pleasure in blessing us. Anybody say, I'm blessed this morning? I got my hand up too. God's been good to me. Listen, God wants to bless us, but here's the problem. Sometimes we can become so obsessed with the blessings that we lose sight of the one who blessed us in the first place. I think about Noah. Noah is one of those major, major figures in the Bible. You know, we all talk about how we're descended from Adam, but guess what? We're really all descended from Noah. Because we all came from Noah's family. But Noah, God used him to build an ark. He built a cruise ship before there was ever even a rain pouring down on the earth. He built the boat. God used Noah to preserve not only the human race, but every animal. Okay? God did a miraculous thing through Noah, and then God delivered Noah. And Noah, after the flood, he went out, and what did he do? He planted some seeds. And he grew a vineyard, and you see, God blessed him. That was the promise of God that the earth would be replenished. So that was part of God's blessing, but the problem was Noah spent a little too much time in the vineyard. Because what did he do? He went to the vineyard, and he made some wine, and he got drunk off of the wine. You see, what started out as God's blessing, because it wasn't handled properly, quickly turned into a mess. Okay, Noah got so caught up in the vineyard, he got drunk on the wine. And you and I, we can become so caught up in the things that God has blessed us with. We can become so caught up that we become intoxicated by our own success. So yes, God wants to bless you. And yes, it's okay to have things as long as those things don't have you. So I'm going to talk about this idea of happiness very briefly this morning, okay? We know that God desires us to be happy, but it's a very dangerous thing when you start to believe that God's number one priority is your happiness. That's what I call the theology of happiness, okay? The theology of happiness is the belief that God's number one goal is to keep us happy. And it sounds good on the surface, but in fact, this is a very, very dangerous belief. When you believe that God just wants you to be happy, there are three things that you start to tell yourself. There are three things that you tell yourself. Number one, this is what you say. When you believe that God exists to keep you happy, this is the first thing you tell yourself. Whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. You get this twisted, warped view of reality. If God wants me to be happy, then if it feels good, it must be from God. Okay? If you believe that God just wants to make you happy, number one, whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. This is the second thing you tell yourself. If something is uncomfortable, then it can't be God's will for me. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting this morning. I hope you're writing down, taking notes. If you believe that God exists to make you happy, you start to tell yourself and lie to yourself and say, if this is uncomfortable, then surely this is not God's will for my life. If it's uncomfortable, if there's risk involved, if there is a delay involved, if there are obstacles in the way, if I'm inconvenienced, if I, God forbid, suffer a little bit, it can't be God's will for my life. That's the lie you tell yourself. And when you embrace the theology of happiness, here is the ultimate thing you tell yourself, and most of you will never admit this, but in your heart you start to believe, if God just wants me to be happy, then God is here to serve me. In case you don't know, let me tell you this morning. God is not here to serve us. We're here to serve Him. It is not God's purpose to keep us happy. It's our purpose to make Him happy. Amen? Listen, if God is here just to make me happy, you know what I do? And if I have that mentality, I reduce God down to some cosmic Coke machine. You see, I go to the big Coke machine and I put a little money in and I press the button and I did my part and I better get what I want out of it. And what we've done without realizing it is we've reduced God down to a transaction. God, I did my part. Now give me what I want. Okay, God, I said my prayers before bed last night. I went to church a couple of times last month. I helped a little old lady cross the road. Come on, God, now give me what I want. You see, it's transactional. And what you need to know is that God is not a genie in a bottle talking about your wish is my command. God is God Almighty, the Holy One, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. And His wish better be our command. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Listen, I'm not here to depress everybody and tell you that you can't be happy. Because God wants you to be happy. But the only way you'll ever get there is on His terms and not your terms. So today I want to expose some of the lies of the enemy. I want to give you three scenarios in which God never said, I want you to be happy. Are you ready this morning? Don't worry, I'll be quick today. All right. Number one, God doesn't want you to be happy when it means doing something stupid. Maybe I should have worded that a little more. Maybe I should have been a little more sensitive. God doesn't want you to be happy when it means doing something unwise or unbeneficial to your life. I'm just going to tell you, don't do something stupid, okay, and think God's going to bless it. Sorry, y'all. If you want sensitivity, you might have to go to the church down the street, okay? But listen, God loves it when you're happy, but not when that happiness causes you to make destructive decisions in your own life. Can I give you a real-life example? Hudson, my one-year-old son, is my most prized possession. He's my little buddy, my little sidekick. And listen, I love it when he's happy. I love it, love it, love it. Okay, I love it when he's happy. He has this little routine. He comes in our kitchen and he goes to the base cabinet and he opens the door and he gets out this big stock pot and he staggers over to the middle of the floor and he sets it down and he crawls inside of the pot and sits down inside the pot and just laughs at himself. Okay, he is happy, happy, happy. When he does that and when he's happy, I'm happy. I love it when he's happy, but his happiness is not my number one priority. Because there's another scenario that makes him just as happy as the stock pot. He likes to climb up on the stove and turn on the burners. And when he does that, he quickly realizes that his happiness is not my number one priority. Do you see the difference? Listen, God, like any loving parent, is absolutely thrilled when you're happy, but He doesn't want you to be happy at the expense of hurting yourself. Let's say, for example, that you are in debt up to your eyeballs, okay? And what do? You walk into the store and you see a 500-inch TV. And when you see the TV, you hear angels singing. You're a grown man, but you fall to the floor and you begin to weep. And you reach out to the 500-inch TV and you say, if I only had that TV, I'd be happy. So what do? You take out a credit card and you buy the 500-inch TV. And you might be happy watching that 500-inch TV, but God is not happy because you're only hurting yourself, pulling yourself deeper down into debt. You're hurting yourself because God knows you're already struggling financially. Let me preach about myself a little bit this morning. I stepped on y'all's toes a lot late. I'm going to step on my own for a little while this morning. Let's say that you decide you want to eat some donuts. Oh, now you're going to meddling, uh-huh. I didn't say one donut. I said some donuts, okay? I'm talking about premium stuff here. You're at Krispy Kreme and the light is on. So what do? You follow the sweet aroma of donuts and you walk in and you say, I'd like to buy one donut, please. And what does old Lucifer do? He says, would you like to make that a dozen? Well, yes, I'd like to make that a dozen, please. And then they take it another level. They take it a step further. Would you like to get a dozen glaze for a dollar off? Well, yes, I'd like a dozen glaze for a dollar off. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you keep getting more and more donuts because more donuts equals more happiness. That used to be the motto of my life. More donuts equals more happiness. So the more donuts you eat, the happier you become. I can't even talk. I'm thinking about donuts this morning. The more you eat, the happier you become. Okay, when it's all about keeping you happy, you start making stupid decisions. Do you see what I'm talking about this morning? Okay, you are happy, but what you don't realize is you just murdered 24 donuts. Listen, if I ate every time I wanted to eat to be happy, can I tell you something? Y'all think I'm fluffy now. I'd be so fat it'd take two dogs to bark at me, okay? Listen, I know what it's like. I know it feels good to eat, but just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. And just because you feel happy in that situation doesn't mean that God is happy with that behavior. So three situations, I better hurry up. Three situations where God never said, I want you to be happy. Number one, when it means doing something stupid or unwise. Number two, when it means doing something sinful. Uh-huh. Listen, God has called us as believers to live differently from the world around us. God has called us to be holy. What does that word holy mean? It means set apart. It means not like the other stuff around you. The scriptures teach us to be holy, but there's a fundamental problem in the way that many Americans interpret the Bible. You see, when they read 1 Peter 1:15, here's how they interpret it, okay? Just as he who called you is happy, so be happy in all you do. Is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So the problem is we're chasing after happiness when God is calling us to holiness. Yes, God wants you to be happy, but not at the expense of living in sin. The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, that tells me that happiness is not God's number one priority for us. Okay? When you start to believe that God is here just to keep you happy, you start making wrong decisions in the pursuit of happiness. And what happens is those decisions end up leading to destruction in your life. I'll give you another example. Several years ago, my wife and I did some premarital counseling with some friends of ours, and we sat down and we went through the basics, and then we got a little bit deeper and talked about some things that we really believed were going to help them set a proper foundation for their marriage. That was many years ago, and they were married and happy for a season, but I found out the other day that they're not married anymore. And do you know what he said was the reason? He said, well, she wasn't happy, and I wasn't happy, so we got a divorce. We weren't happy So we divorced. Since when did being married mean being happy? Come on. Don't tell my wife I said that. Okay. Listen, somebody asked Amber, have you ever considered divorce? She said no. Murder, yes, but divorce, no. Because the truth is, none of us are easy to live with. Okay? And before you point at the person besides you, point at yourself, you're not easy to live with. I promise you that. But since when did happiness become more important than faithfulness? You see, marriage is a holy covenant. It's a lifetime commitment. I believe the vows still say, till death do us part. At least when I do weddings, that's what I put in there. Now listen, I'm not here to condemn people over the past. I'm not talking about people who have already experienced the pain of divorce. And I understand that it takes two. I know that. So I'm not talking to people who have been divorced. This is who I'm talking to today. I'm talking to those of you who are still married and you're going through the worst part. Right? Remember, for better or for worse, sometimes you got to go through the worst to get back to the better part. And if that's you this morning, let me encourage you for a moment today. Your happiness is not God's highest calling for your life. Okay? If you made a covenant and you've been faithful to that covenant, here's what you ought to do. You work through the worst to get to the best. And remember that love is not something you fall into. Because if you can fall into it, you can fall out of it. Just as easy. Let me tell you what love is. Love is a decision that you make. Love is a decision you make. Love is a commitment. I think we forget that the Bible tells us that we should love our husbands and wives as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love us? He loved us when we were at our absolute worst. Jesus loved us when we were in unlovable. Jesus loved us when we weren't making him happy. Jesus loved us when we didn't even love him back. So what do? You work through the worst times to get to the better times. And here's something else I hear a lot of people say. You can't help who you love. I don't have enough time to talk about that one. Let's keep on. That's a whole series right there talking about you can't help who you love. The heart wants what the heart wants. The Bible says that the human heart is full of iniquity. That doesn't mean you need to make decisions based on what you feel. I told you I don't have time to talk about that. I got to keep moving. But our culture says that you can't help who you love and you just need to be happy. There was a billboard in Times Square in New York City a few years ago by an online chat room called the Ashley Madison Agency, and it said, life is short, have an affair. Why? Because you just deserve to be happy. We're going to talk about that later on. Let me keep. But the bottom line is this. When we think that our happiness is the most important thing in life, we start making selfish, sinful decisions that end up costing us dearly, and that is certainly not God's will for you. Y'all understand that? All right, I'm going to keep on moving. All right, number one, three situations where God never said, I want you to be happy. Number one, when it means doing something stupid or unwise. Number two, when it means doing something sinful. And number three, when your happiness is completely superficial. God doesn't want you to be happy if your happiness is only based on the things of this world. Listen, if you watch advertising on TV, it's shocking at all the things that you have to buy in order to be happy. Does anybody sit there? Listen, I was watching a toothpaste commercial the other day, and the commercial was over, and I just turned the TV off and said, this is really wrong. This commercial just told young women that if they don't use this brand of toothpaste, they're never going to get married. That's what media is teaching us. We have to have all of these things if we're ever going to be happy. Just last night, flipping through the channels, I learned about three things that I have to have in order to be happy. And the first one is a blanket with sleeves called a Snuggie. Apparently, I will never be happily comfortable at home unless I have a blanket with holes in it. The joke's on them. I already got a blanket with holes in it. All right. All right. The first thing, I have to have a Snuggie. The second thing is I need miracle cream to put on my eyes so I can look 22 again. Listen, if y'all saw me when I was 22, you'd be thankful that I'm not 22 anymore. I don't want to look like I was 22 again, all right? I'm trying to forget that phase of my life. But it says if I want to be happy, I have to have this cream on my eyes. And the third thing that I need is I need a table that they can strap me to and turn me upside down. I don't know why, but apparently my back will never be straight and I'll never be happy unless I buy that table. And you see, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's why I don't pay a lot of attention to commercials, because I'm tired of them telling me what I need to be happy. And I'm also tired of watching Matthew McConaughey drive down the road in a Lincoln. If I see that commercial one more time, I'm just going to throw up right there on the couch. All right. Let me keep going. Y'all need to just turn the TV off. But according to our culture, this is the basic formula for happiness. Are you ready? This is what our culture says. If you want to be happy, you better write this down, okay? The first thing, you've got to have all the right stuff. It's got to be newer and shinier and bigger and faster and more expensive, okay? You got to have all the right stuff. Then you have to have all the right circumstances, okay? No drama, no issues, no anxiety, no pressure. And then you have to have the right relationship. Uh-huh. And if they're not doing right, then what do? You trade them for somebody else, okay? And if they don't work out, you trade them for somebody else. But you got to keep searching till you find the right relationship. And then if you have that, after all that's said and done, you have to have the right appearance. You have to have the right look. So what do? You tuck it, you lift it, you puff it, you dye it, you smooth it, and you shave it, okay? Whatever you have to do to have the right look. And the world says if you have all of these things, if you got the nice stuff, the peaceful circumstances, the right relationship, and the right appearance, then you'll be happy. But here's the issue with that. All of those things are based on happenings. When your happiness is based on happenings, you're in trouble, because happenings happen to change. You might be happy one minute and then unhappy the next, because as soon as your situation changes, as soon as the circumstances change, you're not happy anymore, and that is not the kind of happiness that God wants for you. Several years ago, my wife sent me to the grocery store, and for all the men in the house, you know that there are two rules when men go to the grocery store by themselves. Number one, you buy the wrong thing, and number two, you buy something that wasn't on the list, okay? Right? I don't know why it is, but we buy the wrong thing, and then we buy something that wasn't on the list. Why? Because we're hunters. It's just what we do, right? We go hunting. So I went to the grocery store, and of course I got the wrong thing, but my thing that wasn't on the list is I was walking down the aisle, and I saw this big old tub of guacamole. And we like mucho guacamole in my house. And I said, well, man, this thing is $5 when you go to a restaurant. I get this tub for 99 cents. And I was like, oh, happy day. I'm going to get that. So I get it and I take it home. And everybody gathers around. Look at you. Look what I found. A 99-cent tub of guacamole. It's going to be awesome. So everybody gathers around and everybody grabs a chip and everybody dips it in there. And the first bite, we're all like, oh, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my life. So I said, this whole tub is cheaper than one avocado. I got to look and see what's in this thing. And I looked and it was all artificial ingredients. It was artificially flavored guacamole, and it was not right with God. It was the most disgusting thing I have ever tried in my life. And listen, that is exactly what the world does with its version of happiness. It is not true happiness. It is not God's happiness. It is nothing but an artificial, cheap imitation of the kind of happiness God wants for you. And that's why God doesn't want us to be happy based on the world's standards. In fact, God warns us about loving what the world loves. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. I don't know about you, but this is a sobering verse for me. The Bible says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world, and the world and its desires will pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. God doesn't want us to be happy when it's based on the things of this world. That kind of happiness is artificial and temporary at best. But beyond being happy, God wants you to be blessed. And there is a difference. God wants you to be blessed. That word blessed in the original Greek is the word makarios. Come on, tell somebody makarios. Not macharios, makarios. That word makarios literally means more than happy. More than happy. God doesn't just want you to be happy. God wants you to be more than happy. You see, when you're blessed, you have something more than the world has. They have their temporary happiness, but when you belong to God, you can have more than happiness. You can have the blessings of God on your life. God wants you to be blessed, but being blessed doesn't mean that you won't have any problems. If you came down front at the end of service and said, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I don't have any problems, I'm going to call the ushers forward to bring a shovel because you're dead. Listen, as long as you're alive, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, but take heart, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. So listen, being blessed doesn't mean that you won't have any problems. It doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties, but being blessed means that you can experience the goodness of God even in the middle of those difficulties. Being blessed doesn't mean that the storms won't come, but you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Even in the middle of the storm, that peace of God will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. You can even be in the middle of a trial in your life. Listen, you'd never choose to be where you are right now. You never would have asked to be put in this situation. Maybe you even feel like you don't have what it takes to make it through this. And yet, for some reason, in the presence of God, you can find joy unspeakable. Joy that comes not from the outside, but comes from a river of living water inside of you. Those of you who are mature in Christ, you know that you can even rejoice in sufferings, because that's when God does some of His best work. And you know, I can't really explain it, but when you're serving God, when you're living for Jesus, and you go into a trial, you go into a mess, you go into something that would make anybody else lose their mind, but when you belong to God, you'll come out of that better than you were going into that thing. Listen, you can experience God on a bad day in a way that you could never experience Him on a good day. Because God is with you even in the middle of the storm, even in the middle of the trial. God says, you know what? The world might be happy temporarily and you might be unhappy temporarily, but if you trust in me, you'll be more than happy because you've got my blessing upon you. So God doesn't just want you to be happy. He wants you to be more than happy. Come on, somebody say more than happy. Come on, tell somebody God wants you to be more than happy. Listen, I personally know people who have all the stuff. They've got the looks, they've got the things, they've got the right relationship, they've got all the money, all the connections, and you know what? They're the most miserable people I know. I know one guy in particular. He's got a beautiful family, a beautiful house, a thriving business. Everything on the outside is just boom, boom, boom. Have you ever known a heathen that just seems like everything they touch turned to gold? Well, I know somebody like that, and everything's great on the outside, but every time I talk to him, he says, I'm dying on the inside. I'm miserable. I hate my life. According to the world, he should be happy. You can have it all together on the outside, but I've seen people who've had nothing. I've seen people who everything was falling apart on the outside, but they were happier than a millionaire because they had God on the inside. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. If you can get in God's presence, you'll find the strength that you need. Psalm 16:11, I love it. It says, "You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever." Some of you, you've been running on empty. You've lost your joy. You've lost your strength. Let me tell you where it is. It's not in the stuff. It's not in the money. It's not in the people. It's not in the circumstances. It is in the presence of God. If you're running on empty, if you need joy in your life, let me tell you what you need to do. Maybe you need to turn off the TV and turn off the internet and even turn off the lights. And you need to get on your face and cry out to God, because what you need, you'll only find in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if you're here today and your happiness is based on any or all of those three things, things that are stupid, sinful, or superficial, then it's time for you to stop pursuing happiness and start pursuing God this morning. You'll never truly be happy any other way. In the beginning this morning, I quoted Psalm 97:12. "Let all who are godly be happy," but I intentionally left out the second half of that verse. I'm going to read you the whole verse this morning. "Let all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise His holy name." The only place you'll find true happiness is not in the world, it's in the Lord. It's walking with God and trusting in God and obeying God and serving God and putting your faith in God. As I close this morning, let me give you one final analogy today. If you go down to the beach and you catch a fish, and you take that fish out of the water and you throw that fish on the sand, let me ask you something. Is that fish happy? Is that fish happy? Come on, out loud. Is he happy? Well, he's out of the water. He's on the sand. What if we get $100,000, a big old wad of cash, and we say, "Here, fish, here you go," and we give it to him. Is he happy now? Come on, is he happy? Okay, well, the money didn't work. Well, what if we put him in a lounge chair and we have a Corona under one fin and Playfish magazine under the other fin and say, "Here, Mr. Fish, here's all the worldly pleasure you could ever have." Is the fish happy then? No, absolutely not. Why? Because the fish was not designed to live on the sand. The fish was created to live in the ocean. You can have everything this world has to offer, but will you ultimately be happy? The answer is no. Why? Because you were not designed to live in the world. You were designed, whether you know it or not, you were created to live in the kingdom of God. You were created by God, for God. You were not created for this world. You were created for eternity. You were created for heaven. Listen, our time on earth is short. You're here for a second and boom, you're gone. You weren't created for this temporary thing called life on earth. You were created for eternal life. Therefore, lower your expectations of earth. Because no new car, no new house, no new job, no new person is going to satisfy the cravings of your heart. Only God can fill that void in your life. You were created to glorify God. God is not here to serve us. We are here to serve Him. Only God can bring you true happiness. Some of you, you know it. You've tried everything out there that you can. You've partied your brains out. You've consumed everything you could. You've traded one wrong relationship for another. But no matter what you do, you're unfulfilled. Why? Because you were not created to be satisfied by this world. You were created to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the only way to truly be happy. You're trying to be happy, but God wants you to be more than happy. How do you become more than happy? It starts by putting your faith in Him. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank You that the happiness that You give is not the happiness that the world offers us. God, I thank You that the happiness You give is not situational and it's not temporary. I thank You that the happiness, the joy, and the peace that comes from Jesus is not based on circumstances or happenings around us. Lord, I thank You that they are eternal and that they never change. That no matter how the situation changes, no matter how we change, Lord, when we follow You, Your joy and Your peace and Your love, God, never changes. It's always there, always ready. God, I thank You that You sustain us in every season. God, forgive us for seeking happiness in the things of this world. God, forgive us for seeking happiness in filthy, ungodly entertainment. Lord, it might be funny, but Lord, You're not pleased with it. God, forgive us for seeking happiness in superficial things. God, forgive us for trying to satisfy our desire for You in the things of this world that will never satisfy. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning and they don't know You. They don't have a relationship with You. God, their happiness is based on all these temporary things. God, I pray for them. I thank You that they're here this morning. I thank You that You love them and care for them, that You led them to this service today so that they would find the answer for what they've been looking for. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're ready to offer Your mercy and compassion. True happiness today. You're here this morning and you don't have that kind of happiness that I'm talking about. Maybe your happiness is circumstantial. You can have that this morning. And here's the thing about the world. The world says that you got to spend money, you got to work, you got to strive, you got to do all these things. You got to get to be happy. But here's the good news about Jesus Christ. He said, my salvation is not something you can earn, not something you can buy, not something you can pay for, not something that you can be good enough to deserve. It is a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. This morning, Jesus Christ is in this place, ready to offer you forgiveness, ready to offer you eternal life, ready to offer you true happiness. All you have to do is receive it by faith this morning. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you're here today and you've not put your faith in Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. With everybody, with your eyes closed and every believer in this room praying for those who need Him this morning, I want to ask you, say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus this morning. Will you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. While everybody's praying, I want to pray for you this morning. God, I prayed for those who are in this room, and they know, God, that they are unfulfilled, that they've tried all of the happiness of the world, and yet they're empty on the inside. But God, I thank You that You are the answer for everything they're searching for. God, I pray for those in this room. I pray for those listening by CD or over the internet. God, I pray, Lord, that You would give them the courage this morning to make the decision to give their life to Jesus Christ. God, give them the strength and the boldness today. God, be with them and help them, Lord, as they make that decision to follow You. And I thank You, Lord, that their lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. You're here, you're ready to make that decision. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And in fact, let's all pray that prayer out loud together. Come on, pray with me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, the world can't make me happy. I've tried it all, but I'm empty on the inside. God, I need You in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. Come into my heart. Jesus, I believe in You. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. And with Your help, I'll live for You the rest of my life. And as I follow You, I will discover true happiness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Listen, the world can never satisfy like God satisfies. Praise God. I want to ask the prayer team to come. If you will stand to your feet this morning. I want us to make a declaration today before we leave, because it's important to recognize and to state who you are in Jesus Christ. Listen, we live in a world that is suffering from an identity crisis on an unprecedented level. It is important that we as believers know who we are and who God says we are. Amen? So this morning, as our prayer team comes, I want you to make this declaration out loud. Are you ready? All right, come on, just throw up your hand and say, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. Jesus has set me free. My past is over. My future is bright in God. I am a new creation. I'm not the person I used to be. Jesus made me brand new. Come on, say it out loud. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I wasn't made for this world. I was made for eternity. And I belong to God. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Lord, we thank You. God, we thank You, Lord, for saving us and setting us free. We thank You, Lord, that we don't have to rely on the things of this world to be happy any longer. In Jesus' name, praise God. Well, I'm getting ready to dismiss in prayer. Once I close in prayer, if you have a prayer need, these men and women of God would love to pray for you today. They are available and ready. So after I pray, you're free to come forward. Lord, we thank You again for this morning. We thank You for this opportunity to worship You together, God, to study Your word and to fellowship with one another as believers. And God, I thank You for those who made the decision to follow You this morning. God, I pray that You would strengthen them and be with them. God, may they know that even if they stumble, even if they fall, You're there to pick them up and dust them off and help them to move forward in Jesus' name. Lord, may they know and never forget that they have a church family in Goldsboro, North Carolina that loves them and cares for them, that's ready to help them and encourage them along the way. God, I pray for those who are here this morning that You would bless them and strengthen them. God, may they walk in Your favor this week. And Lord, may they find the happiness that only comes from You, that only comes from being blessed. And God, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you Wednesday night for our food and fellowship.